Good evening, everyone. Let's begin. Our shir tonight is dedicated by Rivka Tyler in memory of her parents, commemoration of their yahrzeit, Reuven Dov ben Yitzchak, Zichrono Livracha, and Simcha Liba Bas Yitzchak. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshamas will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. And with that, let's begin. So I want to draw your attention. It's actually interesting. I think I remarked about this the other week, which is it's always fascinating to see what catches a person's attention over the course of these parshios. There are so many dramatic stories. And even in Parshas Yisro, of course, again, we have Kabbalah, Satorah, Sinaitic Revelation. We have, again, a fascinating episode that occurs in the beginning of the parsha that is often overlooked, which is the reunification of Moshe, Tzipporah, and their two sons. We haven't heard from Tzipporah since the beginning of Parsha Shmos, after Moshe Rabbeinu's marriage. Remember, again, we spent some time speaking about the episode where they're on the way down to Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu gets attacked and is almost killed by something or someone. Tzipporah intervenes, circumcises their child. That's the last we hear of Tzipporah. The next time we hear about her is in this week's Parsha, where she's traveling again, not with Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather, who is she traveling with? Her father. She's traveling with Yisro. Rashi HaKadosh tells us because Tzipporah was not with Moshe. Moshe had sent Tzipporah and the boys back to Midian, and this was the first time Tzipporah was not with Moshe during emancipation, was not with Moshe during the Makos, was not with Moshe during the splitting of the sea. She only joins up with Moshe afterwards. Where she goes after that and her role is a different discussion. But what I draw your attention to is what at first glance appears to be a relatively straightforward and maybe even innocuous episode, but as we're going to see, is filled with so much incredible drama and profundity. Take a look at number one. Vayimi Macharas. It was the day after. Now, the day after, what Rashi HaKadosh and other commentaries point out, that there's a concept of Ein Muktam Umu'uchar Batorah, about whether or not the Torah follows a chronological sequence. This happens to be subject to incredible dispute, and that dispute is very prominent in these parshios. For one simple reason, for example, Rashi says on the opening verse of this week's parsha, Vayishma Yisro. Yisro heard, and he heard all that God did. And there's a four-way dispute in the Gemara, what did Yisro hear? So some say he heard about the splitting of the sea. Others say that he heard about the Makos. Others say he heard about Sinaitic revelation. Others say he heard about Amalek. So again, depending on what you understand he heard, also puts the chronology of this episode at different places. But leaving the chronology aside, it was on the next day. Vayeshev Moshe Lishbot Asa'am. Moshe Rabbeinu sits down to go ahead and judge the nation. Vayamod Ha'am Amosha. Min haboker ad ha'erev. And literally, again, the people were standing above Moshe Rabbeinu from morning until evening. So in other words, the docket is klag. Moshe Rabbeinu is adjudicating their disputes. Moshe Rabbeinu is answering their shilas. And literally, again, the line is queued from morning until evening. Moshe Rabbeinu is busy the entire day. Pasuk number one, Pasuk Gedal, verse 14. Vayar chosin Moshe, is kol asher hu ose la'am. So Yisro, father-in-law, sees all that his son-in-law is doing for the nation. Vayomer, ma hadavar asher ata ose la'am. What are you doing to this nation? So Yisro is perplexed. I'm sure this is not the first time that a father-in-law is perplexed by what his son-in-law is doing, right? But here, Yisro essentially says to Moshe, what are you doing? Right? What are you doing? Madua ata yoshev levadecha. Why are you sitting handling the needs of the nation all by yourself? The chala'am nitzav alecha min haboker ad ha'erev. And the entire people, literally, again, you have to understand something. There's 3.5 million Jews in the desert. Now, let's take it for granted that not every single Jew has a problem, right? So let's say, again, what is it? A quarter of the nation, an eighth of the nation, whatever it is, it's clearly much more than the workload for one person. Yisro sees this. He says, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. Why are you handling all of this on your own? Vayomer Moshe lachasno. Moshe Rabbeinu responds, ki yavo elai ha'am lidrosh alokim. Moshe says, okay, Dad, thank you for the concern. The people have problems, they have questions, and they come to me to seek out the word and the wisdom of God. Vayomer chosin Moshe lov. So I'm sorry. Ki elam davar baylai vishafatiti ben isho ben reihu vaudati eschukei ha'elokim v'esorasav. So Moshe says, Yisro, listen, we have this new thing called the Torah, God gave us the Torah. I'm the one who taught Torah to Klal Yisrael. So when Klal Yisrael has a problem, has an issue, has a challenge, they come to me and I answer it up for them. Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17. Vayomer Chosin Moshe Elav. Lo tov hadavar asher ata osa. So now his father-in-law Mamish tells him like it is. Not good. It is not good what you are doing. Novel tibo, and it's not good for two reasons. Novel tibo gam ata, gam ha'am hazeh asher imach. This is actually amazing. Yisro says, you will surely wear yourself out, both you and these people who are with you. So Yisro says to Moshe, this is a bad idea on two accounts. It's unsustainable for you. And Moshe, it's only a matter of time until what? What's going to happen? Right? You're going to burn out. And even more than that, the people are going to get angry at you. You see, at the end of the day, leaders are only as good, right, as their last act of kindness. Right? Leaders have very little street credit with their constituents. In other words, you're beloved until you're not. So at the end of the day, so Yisro says to Moshe, this is a bad idea. The people are going to turn on you. How long do you think they're going to stand waiting online day in and day out to be able to ask you a shayla, to be able to ask you a question, for you to adjudicate their cases? So Yisro is saying this on both levels. Moshe, you're a great guy, don't get me wrong, but this is unsustainable for you. That's number one. And number two, the people are going to get upset with you. He goes on, he says, Ki kaved mimcha hadavar, lo suchal asuhu levadecha. It's too much for you. You cannot do this by yourself. So this, by the way, this is not our topic, but I just want to show you just again the incredible enormity of this pasuk. Meaning, you see over here the love between the father-in-law, between Yisro and Moshe. Everyone needs someone in life who needs to tell them, too much. Too much. Right? We all have a desire to grow. We all have a desire to accomplish. We all have a desire to do. And sometimes we overreach. You know, we speak about this often, that on one hand, we are supposed to overreach. We're supposed to push ourselves a little bit. Remember, again, this goes back to the beautiful idea, the famous Varta of the Lublin Rav. Lublin Rav says that when Moshe Rabbeinu's basket was set afloat on the Nile, so what happens? So Bas Paro, right, the daughter of Paro, a woman who Chazal called Bitya, is out bathing by the river. So what does the Pasuk say? Vatishlach es hamasa. She extended her hand and she grabbed the basket. So Rashi HaKadosh says that what happened? It was a miracle. What was the miracle? Right? Her hand extended and she was able to go ahead and reach the basket. So the Lublin Rav asks a simple question. He says, I don't understand. If the basket was so far away, then what's the obvious question? Why did she try? Why did she try? And the Lublin Rav says something so beautiful. Because life is all about reaching for things that are out of your reach. That's what life is all about. Life is not about just taking the stuff that I could grab like that, because those things usually are not the great accomplishments in life. Life is always about extending your reach. Life is about trying to grab those things. I have no idea how I'm going to get it. I have absolutely no idea how I'm going to accomplish that. I have no idea how I'm going to get there, but I need to extend my hand as far as possible and hope that the Ribono Shel Olam will extend it even more. So on one hand, we're urged to overextend. At the same time, sometimes we overextend to a fault. Sometimes you overextend too much. And when you overextend too much, a variety of things could happen. Number one, a person could burn out. But even worse than burnout is life frustration. You see, when a person encounters failure after too many times, most of us just give up. That's human nature, right? Most of us, even if you're good and you don't give up the first time or the second time or the third time, at a certain point in time, we give up. So Yisro says to Moshe, this is bad. Moshe, I got it. You're an overachiever. You're doing great. You're doing great. This you cannot handle. This you cannot do. There's another piece of this which is quite amazing, which is what else is Yisro telling Moshe? No one person could be everything for everyone. And this is an incredible yisod in and of itself, because if you think about it, Moshe Rabbeinu was a solo act up until now, right? Remember again, from the time that God drafts him into the service of Klal Yisrael by the burning bush, Moshe Rabbeinu was to be the spokesman, Moshe Rabbeinu was to be the miracle performer, Moshe Rabbeinu was to be the general, Moshe Rabbeinu does everything. It's been a one-man leadership model. And sometimes in life we think that we have to do everything ourselves. No one can do everything ourselves. What Yisro is telling his beloved son-in-law is that sometimes the greatest act of courage is not shouldering the burden yourself. Sometimes the greatest act of courage is reaching out and asking for help. All of this is unfolding in this incredible story. Moshe overextends, but not to the point of burnout or the point of life frustration. And don't be afraid to ask for help. No one person, even Moshe Rabbeinu, could do everything on his own. So what's Yisro's suggestion? We're still in number one. Verse 19. Ato shema bekoli, iatzcha v'yelokim imach, heye ato la'am mul alokim, v'aveisa atas hadvarim ela alokim. And Yisro goes on, and he advances an incredible suggestion. What's his suggestion? A court system. A circuit court system. Multiple courts at different levels. And Moshe Rabbeinu, you're like the Supreme Court, right? You're the Supreme Court of one. If the lower courts cannot go ahead and resolve certain things, they will bring it to you. And whatever they can't resolve, they will bring to you. Another incredible lesson here, which is, there are some people who are especially adept at pointing out problems. They could point out every single problem. The one thing they never do is create solutions. The beauty of Yisro is that Yisro comes to his son-in-law and points out an acute problem. And the next breath says, here's my suggestion for solution. Just understand, this is not chidush. When the Torah tells us these stories, these are the lessons the Torah wants us to glean from these stories. So a very profound suggestion: create a judicial system, lower courts, higher courts, small claims court, right? Large claim court, family court, domestic court, financial tort, right? Tort court, financial court, all different court systems. And Moshe, you sit on top. This way, again, listen, you're going to be on duty, you're going to be busy every single day. But A, we've created an efficient system where people's issues can get resolved, and we have relieved some of the burden from you. You can't carry everything. This was Yisro's incredible plan. And so, okay, we're familiar with this. And if you look at number two, so it was actually very validating, because it was a question that always bothered me, and I was never really able to find anyone who discussed it until this year. I found that the Lubavitcher Rebbe asks this question. And look, he asks such a simple question, but when you see it, you're going to see it so obvious. Look at number two, paragraph A. Tamo ha-mefarshim. Eich yitochin shemoshe lo amad mi'atzmo al ha'uvda shelo yiye bekocho lishpot es ha'am levado v'shadavar alu lahavi lidekach she novel tibo gam ata gam amaze asherimach. Maybe one more line, then we'll translate. Umadua lo olsa bedaito shel Moshe atzmo atzaso ha'pshuta shel Yisro limnos shoftim nosafim sheyisai yu biado. So the Rebbe asks a very simple question. He says, you know, you read this story, and it's like Yisro's like, okay, quiet please, I have the solution. And the drum roll comes, and Yisro unveils this incredible idea. What's the groundbreaking idea? More judges. So the Rebbe asks, Moshe, you couldn't figure this out? Right? Moshe, A, you didn't see the problem, but even if you didn't see the problem, you didn't know that this is a solution? Get more judges. There was Aaron, there was Yoshua, there were the elders, there was Zekanim. Again, even though it was a leadership model of one, Moshe Rabbeinu absolutely had people by his side. Remember, even going back to last week, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't lead the army into battle against Amalek. He goes ahead and he sends Yoshua. Aaron has already been tapped for certain things. There are other people who could help out. So what the Rebbe is really asking is, Moshe, why couldn't you figure this out on your own? A, why didn't you see the problem? And B, why did you not come up with the solution? It's a profound question, no? How can you not come up with the solution yourself? So what's the simple answer? So the simple answer is, as Chazal say, Ein chavush matir es atzmo mi beis ha'asurim. The person who is incarcerated cannot free himself from jail. Or otherwise stated, sometimes the person who is stuck in the forest cannot see the trees from the forest. There's an incredible lesson over here, which is that sometimes when you are enmeshed in your own life issues, you cannot see the solutions, no matter how obvious or how apparent they may be. And the profundity of this is apparently this dynamic even applies to a Moshe Rabbeinu. As great, right? If you think about this, everyone's coming to Moshe Rabbeinu for etzus, right? Everyone's coming to Moshe Rabbeinu for advice, for guidance, for hadracha. And what's the one thing that Moshe Rabbeinu can't figure out? The one thing? How to ease his workload, right? The one thing he can't figure out is how to go ahead and free up his time. Again, that's the simple answer to this. Moshe Rabbeinu, I guarantee you, when Yisro said this to him, what was his reaction? Right? Probably like, duh. I mean, it's probably not a direct quote, but you understand. Right? Meaning, like, it's obvious. It's obvious. But you know, it's such a profound idea. How many times in life are we faced with crises and we're stuck. We're just stuck. I don't know how to navigate it. And then someone comes along and what? Tells me something. And it's so obvious. It's so simple. It's not because that person is smarter than I am. It's why? Because they have perspective that I lack. When I'm in the midst of it, I lack perspective. And this is an incredible idea. You know, the Piagetzna, Rav Klonimus Kama Shapira, in his Sefer Chov, we're learning Chovas HaTalmidim in our morning shir, before Daf Yomi, and he discusses this idea so incredibly. He says, sometimes in life, you have to learn how to take a step out of yourself. Out of yourself. You almost have to take like a bird's eye view of your life. Because when you're in yourself, when you're in your life, you often cannot see things for what they are. I'm pulled in a million different directions. There's all of the stresses, all of the difficulties, all of the challenges. And so I just see problems and challenges. I can't see solutions. But if you find the ability to take a step back, and I would say take a step up, almost, so that you're able to look at your life from an aerial view, and you're able to see things outside of yourself, amazingly enough, you have a clarity and a perspective that allows you to stop obsessing over the problems and start solving them. So the simple answer, I believe, to Lubavitch Rebbe's question is that Moshe Rabbeinu was a human being. And as a human being, understand, when was the last time Moshe Rabbeinu had a vacation? Right? It's been a while, right? The last time he had a vacation was probably back in Midyan, right? And that's already, we know, over a year and a half ago. And it's been straight. It's been the Makos, the splitting of the sea, the Mun, the complaining about the water, entry into the desert, the war with Amalek. It's overwhelming. It's absolutely overwhelming. And now he's sitting literally from morning until night, dealing with the problems of Klal Yisrael. One after the other, after the other, after the other. And it doesn't stop. Min haboker ad ha'erev, 7 days, I don't know, maybe Shabbos not, but at least 6 days a week, he's lost perspective. He's so mired in the challenges of his day-to-day existence that he cannot see a way out. Sounds like a little familiar, no? Right? Sounds like something we grapple with every single day. So, there are two approaches. Either get a friend or a father-in-law, right? Probably better a friend, right? Make sure you have someone in your life who you trust, who you have enough confidence in to ask them, tell me, what do you see when you look at me? What do you see when you look at my life? Let me tell you what I'm challenged with. And you know, I can't figure it out. I just can't figure it out. I just don't know which direction to go. And it's amazing how someone outside of you, this, by the way, you know, you see this all of the time. You know where I always find it amazing? I always find it amazing when you hear, like, everyone, a Rav or a therapist who has issues with their mishpacha that they can't figure out. Right? You say to yourself, really? Like, either you get paid to do this and you're successful and you do it. Sure. Other people's problems, no problem, right? could size it up, could answer it up. Bullet points, here's what you need to do. It's easy. You don't even have to finish a sentence. I'm going to tell you what you need to do to get your life on track. Then I come home, and I don't know what to do with my kid, right? And I don't know what to do with my shalom bias, and I don't know what to do with my personal challenges. Again, it's not a lacking in the individual. It's that I have perspective with someone else's life that I don't have with my own. Where do we see that from? Moshe Rabbeinu. The truth is, we see it even earlier. The first example of this is really where. The first example was Avram Avinu. Because if you remember, again, after Avram has Yitzchak with Sarah Imenu, Sarah tells her husband one day, you know what? Garesh is ben Amazos. You have to get rid of Yishmael. And what's Avram Avinu's reaction? What's his reaction? I can't do it. I'm the guy who's bringing everyone closer to God. And I'm going to chase out my own son. It doesn't make any sense. And Sarah says, this is what you have to do. And God intervenes and says, listen to Sarah. Was it that Sarah was smarter than Avram? I know, it's a women's shear. So of course, yes, of course. Right? So again, so some of the first, yes, say that her Ruach HaKodesh, what does it mean her Ruach HaKodesh was more acute? Very simple. Sarah wasn't Yishmael's mother. She wasn't Yishmael's mother. So she was able to look at Yishmael as an objective outsider. Avraham was Yishmael's father. You're telling me to kick out my child. I cannot look at that situation dispassionately. So God has to come along and say, no, Sarah is right. Sarah is correct. The way to deal with this ultimately is tell Yishmael to leave. Moshe Rabbeinu is continuing along this same thing. Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu think of this himself? It's so easy. Because he's stuck in it. And this is incredibly important. Because when we find ourselves in those Moshe Rabbeinu moments, the ability to have someone to talk to outside of ourselves. You know, sometimes it works with a spouse. Sometimes it doesn't, depending on what the situation is. But to have someone outside of yourself to run this situation by, who's not mired in my circumstances, to have an objective outsider's opinion on something is invaluable. But the Rebbe advances something different, and he says something amazing. Paragraph base. Number two, paragraph base. Ein lefarish es ha'inyan kipshuto. Shalo haya bekocho shel Moshe lishpot levadu es am Yisrael. So the Rebbe says, first of all, the Rebbe is taking more of a Hasidic approach to this, understandably so. And he says, this is not about Moshe Rabbeinu's abilities. This wasn't a question of his abilities. From an abilities perspective, kimi bichnaso shel Moshe lo haya bekach koshi, v'hu lo haya zokok l'siyua kolshu. Adraba, me'achar shel Moshe kibel ha'torah mipi ha'gvura, ra'oi haya she'yelamed es b'nei Yisrael v'yishbot osam ba'atzmo, k'dei shav hem yikabu es ha'torah b'darga na'alis kemoso. So the Rebbe says something amazing. This was not a capacity issue. Moshe Rabbeinu had no problem shouldering this load. In fact, the Rebbe says it's actually quite dramatic. It was best for Moshe to do this. Why was it best for Moshe to do this? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who brought down the Torah and who taught the Torah. So doesn't it make sense to have the man who is the purveyor and teacher of Torah be the one who directly adjudicates the issues and the cases of Klal Yisrael, instead of outsourcing this all-important task to someone else? So the Rebbe says Moshe Rabbeinu's issue was not a capacity issue. It wasn't the qualifications issue. In fact, one can make the cogent argument that it was in the best interest of Klal Yisrael for Moshe to continue this. So what happened? Turn the page, paragraph Gimel. Rather, Ubilshona Chasidus, Moshe Rabbeinu kibel es haTorah me'HaKadosh Baruch Hu bedargas ri'iyah. So skip actually down to Dalet. Dvarav shel Yisro lo hisyachsu eifo liyicholoso shel Moshe. So it says Lubavitcher Rebbe, that in reality Yisro's words have nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu's abilities. This has nothing to do with ability and nothing to do with capacity. What does it have to do with? Get ready for this. Ella liyicholosam shel b'nei Yisrael lishmoa ulekabel es mishpat haTorah mipiv shel Moshe Rabbeinu atzmo. The issue at play over here was not Moshe Rabbeinu's abilities, but rather Klal Yisrael's abilities. Klal Yisrael's ability to receive instruction and direction directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. Yisro taught, listen to this, Yisro posited Shekasher anashim ba'im la'amod la'mishpat hanagel iskeyem ha'ishim. When people come with mundane, everyday problems, personal problems, business problems, relationship problems, everyday, ordinary issues, he'minsa'im bedarga ruchanis ruchoka b'tachlis m'madregos ha'shamosha. The people are on a much lower spiritual level than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu always lived on the lofty level of spirituality. Says the Rebbe that Yisroel posited that when the people, the regular hoi poloi, the regular people would come to Moshe with their everyday problems, right? Reuven has a problem with Shimon in business. Shimon's ox killed Levi's ox, whatever it is. They're mired in day-to-day mundanity and ordinary issues. Moshe Rabbeinu is living on the celestial sphere of holiness. Remember again, Moshe Rabbeinu at times was more angel than man. Yisro says, there's a disconnect here. The people won't be able to relate to you because you're all the way up here. You're all the way on the lofty levels of spirituality. And the people are mired in their everyday issues, in their everyday challenges. Ve'in ze bikocham lekabel v'lilmod es mishpat ha-Torah b'dargoso ha-na'alis shamosh ha-atzmo. What Yisrael was concerned about was a profound disconnect. The people will not be able to relate to you, Moshe. You're up here on the lofty levels of holiness, and the people are mired in the mundanity. They're going to come to you for direction, and they will be unable to relate to you as a person, to relate to you as a teacher, to relate to you as an advisor. That was Yisro's idea. So therefore, again, taking this further, what's happening over here, Yisro's suggestion is to do what? To create a court system. Why? Who is the court system going to be staffed by? Right? We'll call, for lack of a better term, regular people. Obviously, Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholars, pious people, but people who could relate to the mundanity of the everyday man. People who could relate to the mundanity of the everyday challenges in life. Yisro says to Moshe, you are an incredible man. You are an incredible person. But you live on a different plane of existence. So because of that, you cannot relate to them. And because you cannot relate to them, it's going to backfire at some point in time. So, okay, that's Yisro's point. What did Moshe Rabbeinu counter? Paragraph A. Ach, Moshe lo chashash lekach. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't agree. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu feel? Hu yada shegam im ba'alei hadin kishalatzmam odin bedarga nechusa yoser. Moshe said, you're right, Yisro, I understand. When the people come before me, they're very mundane. They're very ordinary, but Hare b'shah shem homdim lefanav yesh b'kocho l'ha'alos u'l'romim osam l'dargaso shalo kach sheyuchla l'ilmot u'l'kabal as ha'Torah mipiv mibli sheyiyet sorech limnos shoftim nosafim. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's logic? I got it. I know we're not on the same level, but that's okay. When they come before me, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to lift them up to me. So what's at the root of this dispute between father-in-law and son-in-law? Yisro says, Moshe, you cannot relate to them on their level. You're too high, they're too mundane and low. It's going to be a disconnect. Therefore, appoint judges who can connect with the everyday people. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, Dad, you're 100% right. But when they come to me, I'm going to lift them to me. I will connect with them by raising them up towards me. So if you think about this for just a moment, there is a profound, profound relationship dispute that is occurring over here. Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately wants to bring the people to him. Moshe Rabbeinu says, essentially, we have to go ahead and somehow hire or raise the expectations of the people. Right? Let's go ahead. Why should the people be mediocre? Why should they be mediocre? Why should they be mundane? Everyone has the ability to be like me. So let's put the onus on the people. Let's raise the expectation on the Am. and make it into a nation of Moshe Rabbeinus. To which Yisro says, my dear son-in-law, you really don't know relationships. You really don't know people. If you want to create relationships, you have to meet people where they are. You cannot expect them to rise up towards you. This was a relationship machlokas between Yisro and Moshe Rabbeinu. Ultimately, again, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I expect more of the people will raise the people up towards me. Yisro is saying, in relationships, don't spend your life trying to push people to meet your expectations. Instead, what? Learn to meet people where they are. Who's correct? Take a look at paragraph Vav. Limros zos hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'itzas Yisro. So who does God side with? It's actually quite dramatic. And the machlokes and the dispute between Yisro and Moshe Rabbeinu would expect that God would always side with Moshe. In this case, God sides with Yisro. V'hor l'Moshe limnos shoftim nosafim sheyishpatu es Yisrael. He instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to go ahead and appoint additional judges who will judge the Jewish people. Lo mishum shelo hayezeh b'kocho shel Moshe ba'atzmo. Not because Moshe didn't have the ability to judge the people. Ela kedei lahavtiach es limur haTorah gam avur hadoros haboim. La'achar shebnei Yisrael yikantzu la'aretz u'moshe lo ye'odimar. Fine. So the Bav Chebe therefore says that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu sides with Yisro. So I think that there's an incredible life lesson that the Torah HaKadosha is teaching us. Do you know that so much of relationship conflict, and you can fill in the blanks with the relationship. It happens in a marriage. It happens with parents and children. Where why is there conflict? Because someone with whom I am in a relationship with, my spouse, doesn't meet my expectations. Doesn't meet my expectations. My child doesn't meet my expectations. And I say, listen, I have high expectations of you. Right? And again, I believe in you. Now remember again, high expectations of someone are an incredible vote of confidence in that person. If you don't have expectations of someone, it means that at the end of the day, you don't really believe in them. I believe in you. I believe in you, my spouse. I believe in you, my child. And so I expect you to meet my expectations. And then what happens inevitably when people with whom you are in a relationship with don't meet our expectations? So we know what happens. There's frustration. There's animosity. There's anger. There's letdown. Yisro says, I have a counter suggestion. Instead of spending your life trying to get people to meet your expectations, learn how to meet them where they are. Learn how to relate to people where they are and with who they are. Instead of always trying to get the people in your life to measure up to where you think they need to be, take a moment to understand them for who they are and relate to them to where they are. So in a marriage, in children, so many times we create these expectations of people. And again, it comes from a beautiful place because I believe in my spouse. I believe in my child. I believe in my friend. I believe in my parent. But instead of creating expectations for people, learn how to meet them where they are. Forge a beautiful relationship where they are. And ultimately, again, you could grow those expectations together. Moshe Rabbeinu felt that the right way to get people to grow was set expectations high and just expect them and help them move up. Yisro says, meet people where they are and ultimately rise up together. An incredibly profound dispute in relationship dynamics, ultimately, again, between Yisro and his father-in-law, and the Ribono Shel Olam Bichvodo Ba'atzmo weighs in on this dispute. And God teaches us, create expectations of people based on where they are, not based on where you want them to be. How many times does it happen that couples fall into a state of discord because one is not meeting the expectation of the other? And meanwhile, again, sometimes the spouse with the expectations never takes a step back and asks, are these realistic expectations? I want this. This is what I feel I should have. this is what I feel I'm entitled to, this is what I feel will make a good marriage, is my significant other capable of delivering that right now? I want my child to excel in A, B, C, D, and E, right? And so I set the expectations of excellence. Is your child capable of reaching those expectations? Who says those expectations are the right ones? Maybe you have to readjust your expectations of your spouse, of your child, of your friend, not for where you want them to be, but for where they have the ability to be. And the Ribbono Shel Olam comes down and he tells Moshe, I love you, but you're wrong. You need to connect with the people where they are, not where you want them to be. And Moshe, you're not very good at that, right? That's not your strong suit because you live on a lofty level. So what we're going to do is create a judicial system. And that judicial system ultimately is going to be staffed with people who are quote-unquote, I hate using this word, but we'll use it for now, normal, right? Everybody likes to be normal, right? Normal means everybody like me, right? And if you're not like me, it's abnormal. Normal means, but normal people who could relate to the everyday challenges of the common man. And through this command to create the judicial system, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, create expectations based on where the other is and not where you want them to be. And the truth is, this is part of a bigger motif. And if you take a look at, and I think it's probably part of this relationship motif that is probably one of the most crucial underpinnings of proper and healthy life relationships, which is if you take a look at number 3, Hillel says in Pirkei Avos, Al todin es chavercha ad shetagia limkomo. Do not judge your friend until you reach his place. Okay, so you know, we're all for, right, what is it? Don't judge a man until you walk a mile in his shoes. You know, whatever it is, there are many expressions like this. Don't judge a person until you are in their circumstances, because you don't understand the circumstances of another person. But look in number 4. Rabbi Lau in his Perash on Pirkei Avos says something so beautiful. He writes, Ha'admor migur balasvas emes mosif beber bava zusham mishnasenu. Hare ki yadua. So what does it mean? Don't judge a person until you reach his place. What does that mean? Hare ki yadua ein deoseim shel bnei adam shavos. You know, the das, the intellect, the thought processes of any two people are never the same. Some people have a stronger yetzahara, a stronger desire, stronger proclivities for certain things. Some people have toxic environments. Some people have toxic families. Some people have toxic marriages. Some people have just toxicity in their life. And that toxicity often drives them to engage in negative behaviors. Im kein li olam lo yachol adam lahagia lemakom chavero mamish. The Sfas Emes says something amazing. You can never fully understand another person. And I want to tell you the profundity of this. You know, sometimes in life, when we have a close relationship with people, you ever have a moment, perhaps if a person's been married for a long time, right? And you have a moment where you learn something new about your spouse, right? Married 25 years, I just learned something new. Or you just told me something about your childhood or about your past that I never knew about. And on one hand, it could be a bit startling because you say to yourself, I've known you for like most of my life and I thought I knew everything about you, but I don't. And I want to tell you something. There is no such thing as fully knowing any other human being. You can have the best marriage in the world and you could be in sync with your partner and you could have the closest relationship with your children and really get them and understand them. You can never fully know another human being. For one simple reason, no one except HaKadosh Baruch Hu could ever get into my heart, could ever see into my soul, could ever see into my mind. And I want to be clear on this. I'm talking about a person who has a good marriage, person who has a good relationship with them. I'm not talking about bad relationships. But even the best of marriage, and this is so incredibly important. What the Sfas Emes is saying is, you can never claim to fully know another human being. You can know them well. You can know them really well. You can know them better than anyone else. But can you ever claim to absolutely, fully, 1,000% know another person? Know another person? He says, no. And by the way, you might be thinking to yourself, well, it's not true. Baruch Hashem, I know my husband, everything. He knows me. Let's be honest for just a moment. Right? No spouse shares with the other every single thought that goes through their head. Which means that there are thoughts that I have that I don't share with my wife, that my wife doesn't share with me for a variety of different reasons, which means that there are things that are happening cognitively, emotionally, that I'm not sharing. And she'll never know. He'll never know, because again, it remains in my heart, it remains in my mind. For whatever the reason is, says the Sfas Emes, that's the pshat. That's what Hillel is saying. Al todin es chavercha ad shetagil l'mkomo. You really shouldn't judge someone until you reach their place. But what is Hillel really saying? You'll never reach the makom of another person. What's the makom? The makom is like my innermost sanctum. The kishkas of my heart, of my soul. I'll bear it all, right? I'll tell all, I'll disclose all. But even when I disclose all, it's never all. There's always things that are just for me. There's always things that are part of the recesses of my heart, of my mind, of my soul, that I'm not disclosing. There is never another human being who will ever actually stand in my place, who will stand in my shoes, who will stand in my makom. Because of that, in Cain, says the Sfas Emes, and the paragraph Aleph, Li'olam lo yochol adam lahagia l'makom chaveiro mamish. You can never really ever reach the level or the place of another person. And therefore, Ubarer shebematzav zeh ein lo rishus ladon es chaveiro klal. So therefore again, Hillel says, don't judge someone else until you can stand in their place. Well, guess what? You know what Hillel is really saying? Don't judge other people because you do not understand them. And that's even the people with whom you have the closest relationships, and it's even the people with whom you are in love, Matt. It doesn't make a difference. You cannot stand. So why am I bringing this up? Because I think this all comes together. You see, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to teach Moshe Rabbeinu was stop creating expectations of people based on where you want them to be. But create expectations of people based on where they are. Why? Because to create expectations of people based on where you want them to be presupposes what? That you know them. That you fully understand them cover to cover. And says Hillel, you don't. You never fully understand another human being. You never fully understand the life experiences of another human being. You never fully understand the lens through which another human being sees it. And these are the human beings even that we're closest to. So once I know that I can never fully, fully, fully comprehend what is happening in the heart and in the mind of another person, not only can I not judge them, that's obvious, but more than that, when setting the expectations of that person, I have to endeavor to set the expectations where they are. Where they are, I don't mean to put it low, but where they are and not where I want them to be. This is the great lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisro were trying to teach Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's a lesson that we should internalize. Because think about how much more shalom bias, how much more shalom with our children, with our friends, with everyone we would have if we stopped trying to make people into the way we want them to be. If we stopped trying to get people to measure up to the expectations that we create for them and instead take the time to get to know them to the best of our abilities and create a custom-tailored expectations, ultimately, again, where they are. Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel it from Yisro. Moshe Rabbeinu accepted it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if Moshe Rabbeinu could accept it, then in Meretz Hashem, we should have the courage to do the same.